Deuteronomy chapter number 19. Deuteronomy chapter number 19. If you turn there, please. We'll try to bring that God has laid upon our hearts and pray that God would use us for his glory here this morning. Good to be in the house of God. Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad you're saved? Amen. Amen. I never saw anybody really saved that wasn't glad they saved. Amen. I believe everybody's saved, glad they're saved. After you get saved, you wonder why everybody don't get saved. But before you get saved, you're in darkness also and didn't realize what it's like. I heard the story about this man that he's about 87, 88 years old, got saved. And he got up that night and he'd give testimony and said, I don't see why everybody don't get saved. And yet he put it off for those many years and hadn't been saved. You don't see it until you get saved. Or God began to deal with you about it and begin to see that you need salvation. Deuteronomy chapter number 19, verse 14. Let's stand, please. Thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark, which they of old time have set in thine inheritance, which thou shalt inherit in the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, to possess it. Now I want you to turn over to chapter number 27. Chapter 27 and verse number 17. Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he that removeth his neighbor's landmark. Here in our text, verse 14, back in chapter 19, thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, and thank you for the privilege today to be in the house of God, hear the singing of the songs, and enjoy the fellowship and the sweet spirit in the house of thy coming, Lord, we look for, we expect, and until then, help us occupy till you do come. I pray in Jesus' name you'd help those that are sick. I pray for Miss Judy there in the hospital, you'd help her. I pray for those who are sick at home and those who are going through real trials and difficulties and things, Lord, that they need your help. I pray you'd help them. Then I pray today that you'd help, Lord, here in this service. I thank you for what you've done up to this point, but now comes time for preaching. And Lord, I need that divine touch. I need you to help me. I come to you realizing the fact that I'm incapable in myself. I stand here as a needy creature, but Lord, I also stand as one that's been called of God. And Father, you put us in this position, so I pray for that touch of God, that anointing power, and that you'd help us here this morning to say what needs to be said. I pray that we'll have the boldness to say what we ought to say, and the compassion to say it in the way that it ought to be said. I pray in Jesus' name, Father, have your way. Open every mind and every heart to receive. And I pray that men, women, boys, and girls may receive the preaching of the Word of God today. In Jesus' name, I plead the victory and plead the blood and thank you for what you do. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to talk today on this subject of sacred landmarks. Sacred landmarks. As you think about a landmark, we're talking about something that marks the place where one person's property stops and another person's property starts. That's a landmark. And it may be it has been in days gone by anyway, a tree, an oak tree, or a pile of rocks, or a certain rock protruding out of the ground, or it may be a rod driven in the ground, or a stake, and have an orange flag on the end of it. But that's a landmark. It's put there for a purpose, and it shows where that person's property is and where the other person's property is. Now, I want to deal with some sacred landmarks today. And here it's saying, don't move your neighbor's landmark. In other words, don't try to take somebody else's property. And there have been those cases gone by, and I've read about and you've heard about, where somebody moved a stake or moved a whatever it was, and they had a big dispute over where the land was and all that. Well, there's things in the spiritual realm, in the Christian realm, that ought not be removed. And there are some things I'm going to preach that will not and never shall be removed. I'm glad for those things that are permanently set. And you don't have to worry about that. God has set the bounds, and he does what he says. But in way of introduction, I'm just going to touch on some things and pray God to help us do this today, that we may see it like God wants us to see it. Just some things God been laying on my heart, dealing my life about. And I just want to share with you. And I pray that God will help us do so, that we may do this in the right attitude, in the right spirit, and pray that God get glory out of it and magnify him and help him. Today I want to talk about religion just for a little bit. When I say religion, of course, religion is man-made, and Christianity is God-given. But when I use a religion in the broad sense of the term, even the Bible talks about pure religion and defiled and so forth. And he's talking about really being saved. He's using it in that sense. So I'm talking about religion as a whole, as we see it today and in our churches and in our preaching. And I want to preach today a way that God, I try to every time. I don't know what I'm trying to say, really. You say, preacher, you ought to sit down and hush. I thought about that. Maybe I should just sit down and hush. But I'm trying to say something, and knowing what to say and how to say it is a difficult thing to do. I don't want to sound negative on one hand. On the other hand, I want to get the truth across. And I know that we all need encouragement. We all need help along the way. But I'm afraid today we're having a whole lot of preaching, a whole lot of teaching, a whole lot of things. It's always trying to rub everybody's feathers the right way so nobody gets upset about anything. Good preaching. Go ahead. I'm about to get loose now, so just pray for me. And religion, preaching, and Christianity in our churches, and even churches like this church, if we're not careful, we get caught up in all this other stuff. And I hear stuff all the time that don't amount to a hill of beans. And we need to get our minds back on God, back on the Word of God, the things of God, and preaching what God have us to preach. And preaching on hails and almost something that's gone by the wayside. But I want you to know hell's a real place. Heaven's real, amen. Heaven's not a figment of the imagination, something that somebody made up and just thought up. And and sometimes when somebody dies, everybody wants to preach them into heaven, you know, to make a difference who they are. They went to heaven. Well, not everybody dies goes to heaven. Some go to hell. And I don't like that. I don't like to even preach that. But I'm telling you, it's a truth and needs to be preached. And Jonathan Edwards years ago preached a message, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. I think we need to be reminded that God is angry with the wicked every day. Amen. God is love. God does care. God does have a desire to see everybody get saved. It's his will that people be saved. But I want you to know God's angry about sin, and God's upset at sin. God hates sin, and we're against sin, and we need to preach that. We need to preach hell hot. Amen. And you say, well, preacher, I don't believe a loving God. And I hear this all the time. I don't believe a loving God would let anybody go to hell and burn forever. A loving God loves you enough to keep you out of hell. And he went to Calvary and died for you to keep you out of hell. So if you go to hell, don't say God didn't love you. He did love you. He did care. He died at Calvary's cross in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and gave his life so you might be saved. And so if you go to hell, you go to hell rejecting the love of God. God loves you. He cares about you. He wants to help you. And so he does. But hell's real. And people go to hell and burn in hell. And they're in that place of torment. Bible says tormented day and night forever and ever. I believe God meant what he said. Amen. I believe it's a real place called heaven. I believe it's a wonderful place and a joyful place and a place where we'll be and enjoy forever and forever. And so these things need to be preached in our day. But let me say something else has been neglected, and that's the preaching of judgment. Judgment. We are judgment-bound people. Hebrews 9:27 says that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Now, we like to talk about going to heaven. That's well and good. Like to talk about the rapture of the church, and that's well and good. I believe it's coming soon. I believe it may happen today. But I want you to know there's a certain amount of fear in my life about the fact I have to meet God and give an account of my life to Him. You say, preacher, you're afraid you'll be sent to hell? No, I'm saved. I'm not going to go to hell. But I will be at the judgment seat of Christ, and my Christian stewardship will be judged in that day. It's required of stewards that a man be found faithful. It's required that we be faithful to God and faithful to things of God. And so when you think about that and think about our witness, and by the way, I want to just plug this in. I'm not dogmatic about it, but the Bible says in Revelation 21:4, talks about all tears shall be wiped away. I'm not too sure at the judgment seat of Christ exactly how it's going to be. When we stand there and we could have done something for Jesus we didn't do. We let things bother us that shouldn't have bothered us. We got all tore out of shape and let the devil defeat us when we could have helped somebody get to God and get saved. And we wasn't faithful. We let other things. Hey, today, everything under heaven coming by, people get involved in, instead of getting involved in the things of God, living for God, letting God have His way. I got to get off of this. I'm just an introduction. We'll be here all day, sure as a world. I'm telling you this thing. We need to understand it's not going to be a picnic at the judgment seat of Christ. I'm not saying that we're going to be put down and all that, but we're going to be rewarded or else lose rewards. And I believe there'll be many of the folk that say that we'll be ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ. I'll be ashamed because we didn't, was not faithful, did not do what we should have done, failed God, and come short so much of the glory of God. I realize we all sin and come short. I realize none of us are perfect, but we ought to strive to be as right as we can be right for God. Amen. We're not saved by works, but that don't mean we ought to be sorry about working either. It doesn't mean we ought to not do what we ought to do and do it for the glory of God. And so as we come now, I'm thinking about Vacation Bible School coming up. And I believe that we need to do our best in it for the glory of God. I think we ought to be willing to work and do because we love God. Whatever the church is having to do it, we ought to be willing to be a part and be a help and try to do what we can do because we love Him. Amen. And because someday we'll stand in judgment. I don't believe, Brother Mark sometimes set a cup of water up here. Some other people used to set me a drink up here. I don't believe you ever set a cup of water up on the pulpit for the preacher. That God does not take note of it and make a note about it. Now, I don't make Mark any better than anybody else. He's not worth a flip. But he'll be rewarded for this. Now, he knows I'm kidding him and working on him a little bit. But what I'm trying to say is that God pays attention when you pick up a piece of paper out of the floor. God pays attention when you just say, I'm going to do something and serve God, and you're not in the limelight. Nobody's patting you on the back. Preacher didn't say anything about it. And nobody give you any recognition. You just went about your business and did what you did because you loved God. I say hallelujah. Amen. And that certainly needs to be done. Let me hit something else while I'm on it. And I dealt with this in Sunday school class. And Brother Tim and I talked a little bit about it the other day as we went to a funeral service, but coming back from the funeral service. But I'm thinking about this thing of salvation. I know there is no salvation without convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. No salvation without the convicting power. But somewhere in there, the free will of man works to receive it or reject what God has done for him. This thing about using the term irresistible grace, let me say to you, if man cannot resist, then God saying this one's going to heaven, this one's going to hell, and there's nothing you can do about it. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible says, whosoever will, let him come. And when God deals with somebody, they won't come till God deals with them. And I'm not a hyper-Calvinist by any means. And I want you to understand that. I do believe in convicting power of the Holy Ghost. But I do believe that man has a choice to make about what he's going to do with it when God does convict him, does draw him, whether he's going to receive it or reject it. Amen.
Amen.
You believe that?
Yeah.
Amen. And it has to be that way according to the Bible. If it's not whosoever will, then we need to cut it all out and take it out. And Jesus tasted death for every man. It's God's will that every man get saved. He wants everybody to come to know Christ. But everybody don't come. Everybody won't believe. Everybody doesn't receive. Everybody won't hear. Everybody comes to church, gets under conviction, doesn't get saved. Hey, some get under conviction, say no, and they run from him. I believe that when people get under real conviction, they either come to Jesus or they run from it, one or the other. Amen. And so they do something. And so we're talking about this thing of what we're preaching in our day and where we are in our day. And I've got some more things I'll say and tie it in with something else here in a minute. But I'm trying to say right now that we need some sound doctrine of preaching. We need doctrine of salvation, doctrine of hell, doctrine of hell. We need that doctrine of sanctification. We need that, amen. And we need to hear about what God said and do what God says to do. And so be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. Now, in this message, and I haven't even begun to get to it, but I'm going to get there. Brother Billy Mitchell says, I'm going somewhere. Somebody says, I don't know who said it. I'm going somewhere, whether you can tell it or not, I'm going somewhere. And we'll get there after a while. If we don't get there this morning, we'll get there tonight. And if we don't get tonight, we'll get it next Sunday or sometime. I'm trying to tell you that there's some sacred landmarks and down through history. I'm glad I sat under old time preaching and heard about hell and knew hell was a real place. I'm glad I sat under old time preaching and heard about the Word of God being the Word of God. I'm glad I heard about living for God. I heard about judgment of God. I'm glad for all of that. Amen. And I'm trying to tell you this morning, when you walk out of this house, I want you to know there's a real heaven and a real hell. I want you to know there's a judgment that everybody's going to. Saved are going to the judgment seat of Christ. Has nothing to do with salvation. Has everything to do with rewards or loss of rewards. Has everything to do with hearing Jesus say, well done. Or being ashamed and embarrassed before him as he looks at it and our Christian life and how we should have responded to him. But if you're unsaved, you're going to the great white throne judgment. And there you'll not be saying, well, I didn't get saved because of that hypocrite. No, you won't say nothing about that. You'll be bound and confessing Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Too late for salvation. But then you hear him say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you, and cast you in the lake of fire and burn forever and forever. And is that not right? That's what the Bible says. And so we need that. But let me talk about morality for just a little minute. In our day, landmarks are being moved. And they certainly have been moved in that area. And we hear it on the news every day. See it in the newspaper. And on every hand you see it, even out in public. And I want to touch on a few little things right here that I pray you'd hear me well. And what the Bible says about this. And our drinking liquor and beer and is getting to be a thing that people just hide. And some try to hide it. Some don't even hide it. Let's do it anyway. And things say nothing wrong with it because everybody does it. And everybody doesn't do it. God condemns strong drink. When it moves itself right in the cup, that means when it's fermented. And God condemns that. He says don't even look at it. And I've often said it didn't mean for you to shut your eyes and drink it either. It meant to leave it alone. Amen. Drinking is wrong.
Amen.
Beer, liquor, moonshine, whatever it is, it's still wrong. It doesn't make any difference where you get it, what you call it. Or if it's in a little glass and you're holding your pinky out and just taking a sociable drink, it's still wrong. Slop is slop. I don't care where you get it out of a slop bucket, out of the trough where the pig's eating, or put in a little, pretty little glass and make it look good. It's still slop. And strong drink is still strong drink any way you look at it. Amen. And God's against it. I believe the church ought to be against it. I believe we all ought to be against it. Amen. Y'all still with me? Nobody left me yet. And drugs, and people get hung up on that and think you have to have a high, and then they got to get something bring them down, and then they got to get something getting back up. I'm telling you today, Drug culture is on the rampage. Young people, what you need is a good dose of old time salvation. Love God. Amen. And I'm glad this medicine, I'm glad God gives people our knowledge to make medicine to help you and that kind of thing. But I'm talking about illegal drugs and just out there on every hand. And I can't believe what's happening today. And meth labs and all that stuff. I find them everywhere. People making that stuff, messing up young people's minds and old people alike. I say, God help us in our day. We're living a pitiful time. And all those in authority that seemingly don't care anything about having any ethics and having a principle to live right and do right anyway, connive, get everything they can, do whatever. We're living a pitiful time. But let me say this to us that claim to be saved, quote, claim to be saved. And we sometimes allow the landmark to be moved in our lives. Years ago, if somebody said they saved, you knew they was in church, you knew they believed the Bible, you knew they stood for right, and you knew they did and tried to live a Christian life. Amen. You also knew they put clothes on. Good morning. Amen. And you say, preacher, you ought not preach like that. The Bible says that you ought to dress modestly. Amen. That means it ought to be men ought to dress modestly, ought to have themselves look like a decent. Amen. I know when you're out working, you look like a working man, but you ought to have some clothes on. And ladies ought to have clothes on, amen. And that means long enough and high enough. I'm telling this day and time, you about have to have blinders on to go out. And the sad fact about it is, you about have to have it come to church sometimes. How am I going to word this? Too much hanging out, how's that? You say, preacher, you ought not say that. Well, that's what's happening, and people don't pay in. Say, well, that's none of your business. It is my, God made it my business when he said, you ought to dress modestly, amen. That means you ought not to appeal to the opposite sex, amen. And when you show yourself, you're appealing to the opposite sex. And God said over in Isaiah, I believe, chapter 45, he talked about nakedness and called it nakedness the thigh. That's from the knee to the hip. He said anything above the knees, nakedness. Preacher, you done read it out too deep today. Amen. But that's what God said. I didn't write the book. Now, I'm just telling you what God said. And God said that was nakedness, and I believe what God said about it. Amen. And he said, we ought not to be in nakedness. Have you ever noticed when God made covering for Adam and Eve, he took more than just a little fig leaf to make it out of? He made them coats. The Bible said coats. That means it hung over and covered up a whole lot. I can tell right now some of you done turned off. But I'm trying to tell you what God says. Amen. That's what I'm trying to say when I started preaching this message. I said, now, this is going to get me in trouble sure as I'm standing where I'm standing. And it probably will be. But I believe y'all are dressed right. Amen. And I believe y'all look like a man if you're a man. And y'all look like a woman if you're a woman. I don't have to guess what you are. Hey, some people, if they started to get married, you'd have to ask, whatever you are, take whatever it's going to be whatever it's going to be. Because you couldn't tell the difference. Amen. I believe there'll be a marked distinction between man and woman. The devil is doing everything he can in our generation to tear down the separation of man and woman. Amen. Women want to be men want to be women. And that's always confused me. By the way, I'm going to plug something else in. I just thought about that this week. I've been wrestling with this thing for a long time and trying to get myself together about how I'm going to say it's what I'm going to say. And, you know, that's hard to do sometimes. And then, I'm talking about this thing of homosexuality. And some people say, well, I'm just have that tendency and I can't help myself. Well, let me say this, and this just dawned on me. And I believe God let it dawn on me. Some people that are more prone and easier to get hooked on alcohol than others are. Some can take a drink and it doesn't bother them. Some can take a drink and be hooked on it. And does that mean that those that take a drink and get hooked on it, it's okay for them to drink alcohol? And what about those men that may be more sexually oriented than some other men, or some lady maybe more sexual than some other? Does that mean that they're free to live that kind of lifestyle because they can't help it? They just made that way. Same thing about homosexuality. Amen. There may be some tendencies that way, but I'm telling you right now, it can be turned a different direction. Amen. It ought to be turned in a different direction and better be turned in a different direction because God condemns it. Amen. You say, preacher, preaching like this, well, it won't get me down to certain churches. It won't get me any meetings. It won't get me certain things. But I tell you what it will do. It'll help us if we'll let it help us. Amen. And you know why that we want our ladies at church to wear dresses to church? And I realize, and I'm not trying to pick on anybody, because some people don't have and some people need help in that area, and I'm trying to help you. Because if you let the standard down and begin, if you don't preach and don't say something about it, it begins to get more and more and more of it. Ain't only wear pants to church, then begin wearing tight blue jeans. Too tight. You're welcome. And then they begin to wear shorts. Amen. You don't believe that's true? Just drive around some of these churches and watch them when they have, hey, we have vacation Bible school. We want our little girls to wear our dresses. We want our boys to look like boys. But if somebody comes in visiting and some little girl comes in short, we're not going to throw a fit. And somebody comes back, we're not going to get mad and upset and bless them out and tell them they don't have business here and all that kind of stuff. No, there's a way to talk about that. I'm trying to handle this the way God wants me to handle it. But we have to have a standard. If you don't, somebody said, I don't believe in standard. You got a standard somewhere. You draw a line somewhere. It's either a high standard or a low standard in between. But you have a standard somewhere, amen. You wouldn't go out totally naked, I don't think. Some get pretty close to it. I've been to the grocery store and thought, man, I'm not on the beach. Amen. Anyway, you're welcome. But I'm telling you, the landmarks have been moved. There used to be some landmarks about being saved, how we ought to conduct ourselves as Christian people. But they've been moved. I'm saying God's going to hold us responsible. These landmarks. Oh, what I give you is biblical principles God has told us in His Word about modesty. Amen. And these need to be upheld and preached and taught so it would help us. And people need to be reminded what God said, because someday when we stand in judgment, it's going to be too late for me to come up to you and say, oh, I wish I'd have preached that to you. I wish I'd have told you about that so you wouldn't have to stand here and be as embarrassed as you. I'm trying to tell you now why I have time and opportunity, and I want you to hear it and hear me well. What I've said already up to this point is absolutely backed up by Scripture. The Word of God says that. I didn't make it up. I didn't hatch it out. Fact is, I'd rather not even have to say it. Because I know it offends. I know people get disturbed about it. And we get classified narrow-minded, old-fashioned. That's okay. I kind of like both of those. And we get classified as kind of nutty, not well-educated. We're not up to par. We're not with society and all of that. And that's absolutely right. We're not. We're old-fashioned, Bible-believing preacher. And I believe that that's where I'm going to stick. That's where I'm going to stay. And I believe I'm going to stand where I stand. And I want to stand there for now till Jesus comes or they put me in the ground. I want to be standing where God wants me to stand on these issues. Amen. And people have changed their mind. People have thrown out these kind of things. And you said, preacher, this kind of preaching won't get the big... I believe it'll get people loving God. I think it'll help people live for God. Amen. I'm trying to help you. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'd much rather got up here and preach a good, easy message and just had some good amens and hallelujahs and praise God and us go home and feel good in our hearts. But I want you to get right with God. I want you to live for God. I want you to get some help so when you leave out of here, you say, I got some help today. I don't care if you're going out saying we had good preaching or not, but I want you to go out saying we got a good God, a good Bible, and a good a challenge from God's Word to live for God and do what's right. Amen. Amen. We come to hear from heaven. We want a message from heaven. Somebody asked me the other night, Brother Cox asked me the other night, said, have you got a word from the Lord? And this morning I've got a word from God. I believe God wrote it out in my heart and said, preacher, you best get on with it because things have been sliding by. Amen. And I want you to know, young folk, you ought to know, young men ought to cut your hair and look like a man. Amen. Young ladies, y'all look like young ladies. I believe that. I believe God meant what he said. I believe, amen. You're welcome. I've been to the mall where I saw some young men. I thought, sure to goodness, if they bend over, they're going to lose their britches. If their bottom was that low, they're built very funny. Their legs wasn't but that long. Grown people. I said, my soul, help them. It's always funny to me when they walk around holding britches up one hand. I thought that's what they made belts for. Belt won't do it, get some suspenders. Then think about taking me a wad of fodder twine with me. Say, here, you need this. Tie up your britches. Well, enough of that. Let's talk about the home for a minute. I'm not going to get to what I was going to preach anyhow. I just parked around talking to you for a while this morning. Let's talk about the home for a minute. There's some landmarks about the home too. Husband and wives, amen. And I realize things happen and sometimes some party can't help one another part. I understand all that. And there's a whole lot of complications and a lot of that stuff. But I'm saying that it's good to get married if you marry the right person. I don't believe the problem is with divorce. I think the problem is marrying the right one. And so you need to pray. So I deal with the saved people here. You unsaved, y'all wouldn't know what I'm talking about anyhow, but I pray God will help you get saved so you know what I'm talking about. But you ought to pray and ask God to lead you to the right person. And if that's not the right one, then pray God help you find the right one. If that is the right one, then thank God and say hallelujah. Whoop. I see you grinning. I don't know where it is or not. I just made a statement. I got to watch what I say. But I'm telling you, you may have the right one, you may not. But I'm saying this today. God puts homes together. But that's not where I really want to get to about marriage and about husband and wives and that kind of thing. Next Sunday is Father's Day. Maybe we'll talk about dads. I don't know. But I am going to say this. Our children, our young folk, need some moms and dads that'll be moms and dads. Amen. The church ought to teach what's right and wrong, but the home needs to really nail it down. Amen. And dads and moms are responsible to do that in the home, nail it down, and let them know who's in. You can't start after they get to be teenagers and try to establish who's authority in the home. You got to start when they're little babies in your arm. Amen. Last Sunday morning, Billy McPherson sat back there and his wife Pat and his daughter Faith. When I first went to Whiteville, North Carolina, his baby Faith, which was a grown person teaching school now, but she was just a little tack sitting in a high chair. And we were getting ready to pray one day for lunch. We went home with them for lunch. They'd invited us. And we went there. Praise God. I thought about that. She had fried chicken fried in an old orange skillet. Hallelujah. That'd make your tongue slap you. But we went there to eat. But we're getting ready to pray. And she's cutting up. She's whining around, making all kinds of noises, and we're getting ready to pray. Billy just got up and took her out. I don't know, somebody said around the table something about it. She's awful young to be straightened out now. But he straightened her out, brought her back, set her down. I'm not saying what he did, I don't know. It wasn't there. He took her to another room. But when she came back, she's a snubbing. And when she sat down, she sat down. And when he said, let's pray, she bowed her head. I noticed any other time we was ever with them out to eat or in their home or whatever, and sometimes somebody said, let's pray. Boom. There wasn't no question what she's going to do. She's going to bow her head. You know why? He established that while she was real young. He established that in her heart so she knew he meant what she said. And she loves her daddy today. Why, she'd claw your eyeballs out for her daddy. And but he straightened her out. I say amen. Preacher, you're just meddling a whole lot today. I know. But it's good anyhow. Amen. And so we need. But let me get on education a minute. I'm going to hush in a few minutes. I'm kind of getting loose now. But education. And we need to educate our children. Children need education. No question about that. But they don't need to be taught that we evolved from a monkey. Some of my forefathers probably hung, but it wasn't by their tail. I don't doubt they didn't hang by the neck, but the other part I have a question about. I didn't come from a monkey. I didn't come from a frog, a tadpole, and this thing just didn't happen. God created the heavens and the earth. But I tell you what, our schools, now around here in this part of the country, we probably have some of the better schools and probably some of the better school teachers. Now, some of them not worth a flip, I know that. But some of them are Christian folk that try to teach right and try to hold some principles anyway. But as our country as a whole, public education has gone to teaching and want to teach our children that different lifestyles is all right. Just as long as they, it's okay if they want to have a man to man or a woman and a woman, that's okay. That's being taught, and they're expected to be accepted, and we're the crowd that won't accept it, and we're the nuts. But I'd rather be a nut, screwed on the right boat, than be what they are. Amen. I say to you today, friend, that landmarks have been moved. Boy, when I went to school, and back here, that was several years ago, you can tell that. But school was a place where you better listen to what the teacher had to say. If you didn't listen to the teacher and she sent a note home or she got a hold of your mom and dad, you're in trouble. Now moms and dads go to school and chew out the school teacher. Had to spit that one out. Got that entangled up around my eye too, couldn't see what I was saying. But I'm telling you, we need some landmarks. We need these old-fashioned landmarks in our day. Now, I'm going to give them a message later. But some sacred landmarks are never going to be moved. But I'm just telling you some this morning that have been moved, are trying to be moved, and the devil love to move them out of this church. Devil love to move them out of anybody's life. Devil like to move every standard you've got out of your life and get you to a place where it doesn't make any difference. But it does make a difference. One day we're going to meet God and give an account to Him. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege God tried to share the Word of God and some principles and some truths of the Word of God we've tried to say today. Lord, landmarks that you have established in thy word, given us as guides for our lives, that we might be what we ought to be for the glory of God. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.